Well, today we are enjoying the fellowship of the Sabbath. It is the highlight of the week, the Sabbath day, a commandment that we keep that really defines us very much as Christians. It sets us apart in many ways from professing Christians in the world today. And we know the true intent of the Sabbath day, that it is not meant to be a restrictive day, but it is meant to be a day where we come together in fellowship and enjoy God's blessings on this day. As we've heard in the opening prayer by Mr. August and all the blessings that come on the Sabbath. We believe the Sabbath is a commandment given as number 4 of the 10, where Israel received that law at Mount Sinai. The Sabbath command is the 4th, and we believe these commandments are not done away. They're not nailed to the cross. And I don't think, brethren, that we could picture our lives without observing the Sabbath. I know I can't. I've been keeping this day for over 40 years. I know my wife over 50, and we cannot picture our lives without it. We don't consider it a burden at all. It's a blessing, a wonderful blessing that we enjoy. And it is, in fact, the 10th of our fundamental beliefs. The United Church of God has 20 fundamental beliefs. The Sabbath is number 10. So God made this day, this Sabbath, as a weekly blessing for man, and he made it at creation, he made it a Sabbath for us, and he made us to enjoy this day. He knows that we need this blessing. It pictures also the coming kingdom of God. So if you think of God's plan in terms of the 1,000-year reign that is coming, the 7,000th year of man's history pictures or will be the kingdom of God. So this Sabbath, this seventh day, every single week looks forward to that coming kingdom. What we do today is rest from our normal labor. We take a break from what we normally do and focus more intently than any other day of the week on our relationship with our Creator. It's also, as we mentioned in the sermonette, the day that we come together. It's the day that we come together with our church family. And the day in the Gospels that we see the Sabbath day being pictured, that day was the day on which Jesus Christ did much of the work of his ministry. So if you read through the scriptures, you'll see that quite often Christ was doing the work of teaching and preaching and healing on the Sabbath days, more than any other. So today, I want to inspire you to keep this Sabbath rest more perfectly. And that's the title, Keeping the Sabbath Rest. So let's begin with this essential sermon, going back to one of the basic foundational truths of our faith. Let's begin then at creation. Of course, we go back to Genesis for that and see when God made the Sabbath for us. Genesis chapter 2, the Sabbath day completed God's creation. Well, we understand that God created the heavens and the earth. He did that, and we understand that he did that by faith. We don't know how he did it, but we know that he did it. And when the heavens and the earth were created, when that creation was finished, God made it, made the Sabbath day. So let's read it here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. Verse 1 of Genesis 2. And thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. The creation was complete. And on the seventh day, verse 2, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. Now God made the creation with careful forethought and planning. He planned to rest on the seventh day. It wasn't a haphazard idea, like last minute, oh, I need a break. I'm going to rest on the Sabbath. No, God planned with careful thought, forethought, the creation itself and the Sabbath day. And verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which he had created and made. Rested from all his work. So let's take a lesson right here from what God did at the creation when he made the Sabbath. He planned ahead to keep this day. He planned ahead the creation. Look at our lives. When we start our week, are we thinking ahead to the Sabbath day? Are we looking ahead about toward the beginning of the week, thinking toward the next time that we come together on the Sabbath? How do we plan our week? How do we go about keeping the Sabbath rest? Do we sort of run right up until the end of the week and crash into the Sabbath? Is that the way God would have done it? No, I don't think so. No, he did not. He took obvious forethought and planning to make the creation in 6 days, and he set the pattern for what we follow today. And therefore, with deliberate planning, with forethought, as he did for the Sabbath day, we should look ahead to this day. Now, this one verse, verse 3, has tremendous significance in it, because it tells us how God looks at the Sabbath day, that he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work. So let's look at this verse in a little more detail, first of all. The Hebrew word for blessed is barak. So I don't know if my Hebrew is good in pronunciation, but that is spelled in English, B-A-W-R-A-K. B-A-W-R-A-K means blessed. That is the Hebrew word for blessed. And it means to kneel, and by implication, to bless God as an act of adoration. So you think about that. God made it a day of adoration, of worship. Being on your knees when you kneel is an act of humility, and it shows honor to the one who's giving that blessing. So when God blesses something, it's very important to him. And so if God is blessing this time, should we not then be, in a sense, kneeling in adoration of this time, as the way God looks at it, as very, very blessed, a day of worship, a day of adoration. And not only does he bless this time, as verse 3 says, he blessed the Sabbath day, but he sanctified it. And sanctified in the Hebrew, looking at this verse a little further, is Kadesh. And I'll spell that. It's K-A-W-D-A-S-H. Kadesh. And that means to appoint, to consecrate, to dedicate, to hallow and make holy, to prepare. So he makes this day holy as a day of adoration and worship. So God not only makes it a day of worship, he makes it holy, separates it. Now man can not make something holy, but God can. Only God can make something holy. Man can defile what God has made holy, but does that make it any less holy? It's still holy to God. Man can defile the Sabbath. As we see today, this world defiles the Sabbath. They don't regard it in the manner and the way that God wants us to. But that time is still considered holy to him. And if we defile something that God has made holy, we can expect that God will punish that behavior, that there is a price to pay for defiling something that he has made holy. So we do not want to be found guilty of defiling his Sabbath day, his holy time. This time, the Sabbath day, was very important to him, as he showed at the creation. if it is so important to God that he blessed it, made it a day of worship and adoration, and separated it, made it holy, is it not a time that we should look at this in that same way? Of course it is. Now, how do we do that? What are the ways that you can keep this day separate, set apart? Well, we certainly aren't going to be chopping down trees on the Sabbath day, as we're so relieved that Mr. Gavoni did not chop down his tree on the Sabbath. He did it yesterday, so that is good to know. We appreciate that clarification very much. What are some of the other things you might do to set this time apart? Well, in practical terms, one of the things I do is I try to do, sometimes I forget, I gas up the car because I know I'm going to go a long way and I don't want to run out of gas and have to go to the gas station on the Sabbath, although I have. Especially when we're traveling to Saratoga or Maine, we may have to stop for gas. But even when we do that, if we make the trip up on a Friday night, I try to remember to fill up before the sun goes down. That's just one of the little things I do. Another thing I do to get ready, this is more kind of out of a sense of need, because we have so much to do to run the circuit on the Sabbath, my wife and I set out my clothes the day before. So on Sabbath morning, I'm not rushing around thinking, well, which suit or shirt, but I put those aside the day before so I'm ready to go in the morning. That's just myself, a couple of things I do. But what can you do? Perhaps plan some activities for the kids. Do something ahead of time to plan the activities. You can also build this day up to your children. Make it the best day of the week for your kids. I remember when I was a father with young children, very young children, on the Sabbath day, we had services in the afternoon like we do here at 2:30. So we could spend the whole morning, Sabbath morning, enjoying that. We'd have very often a big pancake breakfast. I remember those very much with fond memories of when my children were little. And we made pancake breakfasts on the Sabbath. Another thing we'd do with that extra time in the morning when the weather was good, we'd go for walks. And the kids were in strollers at that time. But I remember pushing the strollers on the Sabbath day through the neighborhood because it was just so pleasant to be out enjoying the Sabbath with my kids. That's one example that I think we could also apply to ourselves. What do you do to make the Sabbath a special day and set it apart to be holy? Did God need to rest because he was tired? Did he need to take a break because he ran out of energy after 6 days of creation? I need a break right now. I'm going to take a rest. No, God did not get tired, but he knows that we need that rest because we're physical creations. But does God get tired? Let me read you a verse from Isaiah. This is Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. The creator of the ends of the earth does not faint, and he does not get weary. But he made the Sabbath as a day for us to reconnect with him, because we do lose sight of things somewhat during the week and the busyness of the week. And he wants us to take this time to build our relationship with him. So why did he rest then on the Sabbath? Again, as an example for us, for all of his creation, and to also show that this day was holy and special to him. It was his desire that mankind could do the same, because on this day, he wants us to come to him in worship. He wants us to use this time to build our relationship with him. And that's something, brethren, that we need to take heed of. We need to take advantage of this time and use it as an opportunity to spend more time in prayer, study, and perhaps catching up on some of our Beyond Today articles, which were a few issues behind already. We have so many opportunities and so much knowledge of the truth that we can avail ourselves of these things. And God has given us that in this day and age, that we can enjoy and drink in the Word of God on this day. We need to keep this time as God would want it, as a day of reverence and adoration, blessed and holy, sanctified, set apart. If it is blessed and holy to God, we must make it blessed and holy to us. This day must be treated differently than any other time of the week. So again, ask yourself, how are you doing? How are you keeping the Sabbath rest? And what can you do to do it better, to do it more perfectly, and take advantage of this wonderful blessing that God has given you? Let's take a look at the example of Israel. Let's see how they regarded the Sabbath day. We know that God gave them the Sabbath command. He intended for Israel to know his laws. In the bondage of slavery in Egypt, they weren't able to keep his laws. They weren't able to keep the Sabbath. If their taskmasters wanted them to work, they worked. But they could not worship God and keep the Sabbath. He brought them out of that, bondage, and gave them his laws, his Sabbath day as well. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20 and see how they responded to the Sabbath day as an example for us to consider. Ezekiel chapter 20. He brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and he brought them into the wilderness, and he gave them there his law. How did they respond? In verse 10 of Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 10. And therefore, I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them, because they're a blessing. And moreover, I also gave them, verse 12, my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. And how did they respond to this blessing? Verse 13. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. They defiled that day. And then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. The Sabbath that Israel was given was meant to be a blessing for them, that would have given them so many more blessings if they kept the laws of God, but they did not. It was meant to be a sign for them, a sign between man and God, that they might know that it is God who sanctifies them. But they disregarded his law and cast it aside. But this blessing is available to us today. The blessing of the Sabbath, it sets us apart as an identifying sign. It's one of the signs that sets us apart from most all of Christianity. It shows that we are the people of God. And there is no way, brethren, that we can rightly understand God's word and have a proper relationship with him without the keeping of the Sabbath. If we don't keep this day, brethren, if we don't understand its purposes and take advantages of its blessing, we will not have a right relationship with God. God gave us this command to rest not only for our benefit of physical rest, but he also gave us this Sabbath as one of the chief ways that we might have a right relationship with him. Are you using this to the best of your ability? Are you taking full advantage? Well, again, the purpose of this message is to help you to think about how you might keep this Sabbath rest more perfectly. Because it is a critical element in our relationship with God. And in keeping it, we surrender one of the most precious possessions that we have, which is our time. Our time. Because we only have a short amount of time on this earth. And surrendering that time one day a week to God is really surrendering one of the most precious possessions that we have. But it has many, many dividends when we surrender this day and keep it in the right way. This is the day that we set aside our normal activities and focus on that relationship with our Creator. Many professing Christians have said they do not believe that keeping the seventh day is necessary. And they are missing, therefore, a great deal of what it means to have a true relationship with God. Let's go to Isaiah 58. Let's go to Isaiah 58 now and see what God says about the blessings that come from keeping this Sabbath day. I know we're familiar with this scripture, but let's review it here. The blessings that come from keeping the Sabbath are here in Isaiah 58, verse 13. Verse 13 of Isaiah 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable. Remember what he made it at creation, a day that is blessed, day of worship, and sanctified, set apart. If you make that day, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, verse 13, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words. How do we do that? How does that work in your life? I'll give you another example of how it works in my life. I think I've said this before. I really love baseball. I love baseball. I love watching my team play. But when it comes to the Sabbath, I have to not even click on that app on my phone. I just say, I'm not going to look at that app. I'm not going to open it up, because once I click on it, I know that I'll be pulled in. I wanted to see more. So I say to myself, I'm not even going to start. I keep it and wait till sundown, and then I check the scores. That's just one little thing I do, because I realize that's doing my own thing. And God allows that for 6 days of the week, allows us to do our pleasures and our work, the things that we enjoy. But he gives us many things to still enjoy on the Sabbath. But we take that time and focus on him. So I use myself as an example, but you think of your own life and the things in your life that you can take away from your Sabbath, or that are taking away from your keeping this day more perfectly. So if you shall honor him, as it says in verse 13, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then, verse 14, you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. When God speaks, it comes to pass. If we do these things, brethren, and honor the Sabbath and keep it as God wants us, use it for building that relationship with Him, and also using it as an opportunity to come together with one another in the way God commanded it, the blessings will be without number. This is what God says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Are you taking advantage of this? Are you doing your best to keep this Sabbath, turning away from your own ways and doing your own pleasure and speaking your own words, but setting those things aside and using this time to focus on your relationship with God, with your Creator? Now, this is where discernment needs to be at work. Sometimes we have to think, well, what is right for me on the Sabbath day? We have to use good discernment and make a judgment of what is appropriate and what is not on the Sabbath day in our personal lives. But the idea, the intent, is that we're mainly focused on building our relationship with God. And doing that requires time, requires our efforts to put into it. So the Sabbath is, again, ideal for additional prayer, the study of the Word, and contact with Him. Ceasing our normal labors and occupations, having additional time to spend with God. And it also allows us that opportunity to come together with those of like mind, to mutually encourage one another. We know that scripture very well, Hebrews 10, verse 24, where Paul writes, "And consider, let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." This day is for that, for exhorting one another and being with one another, encouraging one another. Brethren, we need one another to make it into the kingdom of God. So God set this day for us, and He gave us His commandment. As Leviticus 23, verse 3 says, I'll read this, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. Leviticus 23, 3, if you're writing your notes down. A solemn rest, a day of solemn rest is the Sabbath, a holy convocation, which we know means a gathering, where we come together as we are right now and gather. You shall do no work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. So God commands us to keep this day also by gathering together on this day. And God's ministers, like myself, are expected to teach God's people about His way of life on the Sabbath day, just as we are doing now. You remember what Jesus said to Peter on the beach of the Sea of Galilee. After His resurrection, He appeared there to His disciples, and He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's answer was, of course I love you. And He asked him 3 times, and each time the Lord's response was, then, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep. That was Peter's job as an elder, to feed the flock of God. During His ministry, Jesus Christ constantly showed by His actions that the Sabbath day was special, that this was the day on which He especially taught God's way of life and performed works of mercy, of healing, as the showing the proper way to observe the Sabbath, doing good on the Sabbath. He demonstrated that by His words and actions. When we look in the scriptures, we see that much of His work was done on the Sabbath day. So the point for us is that we need to also do God's work on the Sabbath day. So do God's work on the Sabbath day. We rest from our normal work, but there's spiritual work to be done today. Spiritual work of building up ourselves and in our relationship with God, and spiritual work of building up the church of God. Jesus showed by his actions and his words and his teaching that this day was not meant to be a day of rigid do's and don'ts, as was by that time in Judaism, the Jews having built a fence around the Sabbath, making it a burden. But Christ used the Sabbath day to show and share the joy of God's word and to teach his way of life, using it as a day of healing, of physical healing, mental healing, emotional and spiritual healing. He showed on the Sabbath it is the day to do God's work. Let's take a look at some scriptures in the gospel. First of all, Matthew 4, verse 23. We'll read just one scripture there. What did Jesus do during his ministry? Verse 23 of Matthew 4. He went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of disease among the people. He made it clear that the Sabbath day was a day for doing good. So let's look at one of the accounts showing what Jesus did on the Sabbath day. Go to Luke chapter 4. This is in Luke chapter 4 where he begins his ministry. He comes into Galilee at the beginning of his ministry, teaching and healing, doing good works. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went around through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And so during that time, verse 16, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, when he did teach in the synagogues, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Now they had heard of him, and he was given this book of the prophet Isaiah, verse 17. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And he quoted this passage from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this was the Sabbath day. And his words were full of grace, and the hearers were stunned because they knew who this was. He had grown up among them, and they wondered, where did he get this? And he began to say to them, verse 21, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. On this Sabbath day, this scripture was fulfilled. So they all bore him witness and marveled, verse 22, at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? They couldn't believe that one of their own, who had grown up in their midst, they didn't notice him before, could have such grace. And they became angry as he convicted them that they were not willing to accept what he was preaching, or what his ministry was, or who he was. And so all those in the synagogue, verse 28, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And passing through them, he went his way. Where did he go? Verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum. a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. City of Capernaum. The ruins of Capernaum are there today. We've been there. I know the August have been there with us. We've walked through that little town, and the ruins of a synagogue are still there today. Not the original one that was there in Christ's day, but it was built directly over the original one. He used this synagogue as his home base to teach them on the Sabbath day. In fact, if you look at the entire chapter of Luke 4, it introduces Christ's ministry in Galilee as largely taking place on the Sabbath day. Just read through Luke 4 and you'll see the Sabbath was the day that he chose to do much of his work, much of his Father's work. Jesus Christ and his Father are doing a special work on the Sabbath day, and we must be a part of that work. What is the work that Jesus and his Father are doing? Let's go over to John chapter 5. So we rest from our normal labors on this day, but we do spiritual work. It's in John chapter 5, where there's a miracle that takes place at the Bethesda pool in Jerusalem. Now, if you look at John chapter 5 and just glance at verse 1 there, you'll see this was on a feast day. We don't know which holy day, which feast day this was, but it was on a Sabbath, an annual Sabbath, a feast day. We see there that in verse 1 that it was. And notice then the place. It's the Bethesda pool, the Bethesda pool. Where is that? It's on the Temple Mount. It's just actually to the north of the temple area. And you could still go there today and see the ruins of this. Very, very close, pretty much adjacent to the Temple Mount. So here on this feast day, laying at this pool and hoping for healing, there were, as verse 3 says, a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Remember what Christ said when he introduced his ministry, that he would heal the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, heal the sick. So there was, verse 5 now, a certain man who was there with an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, verse 6, laying there, and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed on this day, this Sabbath?" And the sick man answered him, verse 7, and says, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, verse 8, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked. And that day was, verse 9, the Sabbath. And of course, this was immediately noticed by the Jews, who were very strict about Sabbath observance and what could and could not be done. So this was an opportunity for Jesus Christ to show the true work of God that was to be done on the Sabbath. On a feast day, this area would have been crowded with worshipers. And therefore the Jews, when they saw him who was cured carrying his bed, verse 10, they said, "It's the Sabbath, and it's not lawful for you to carry your bed." But then the man explained that he had been told to take up his bed and walk. So they asked him, "Well, who told you that?" What Jesus had done here was give the man a command to do some light but necessary work. So taking the principle of this, the Sabbath day, we can do some light and necessary work. You know, get up and I still make my bed on the Sabbath. My wife and I make the bed. And we still do a little bit of food preparation. We do a little less on the Sabbath. Typically, we have something prepared the day before and eat leftovers on the Sabbath evening when we get home. But we still also make breakfast like any other day of the week, because that's a necessary but light work. And this man was doing one of those things. I thought also I'd give you an example of what happened to me when we were in Jerusalem the first time that we were at the Temple Mount, and the Sabbath was just starting. And I had my camera with me, and all of a sudden, these what I'll call Sabbath police came out and started telling all the tourists, put your camera away. Don't take any pictures. It's just the Sabbath. The Sabbath. So it was kind of similar to what was going on here. They noticed right away somebody was breaking the Sabbath, and they jumped on him. In verse 13, but the one who was healed did not know who it was who had told him that, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. It was very crowded, right next to the Temple Mount. And afterward, verse 14, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So the man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And for this reason, then, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. He had done good on the Sabbath. And it is right to do good on the Sabbath. What was Jesus' answer to them, to their accusations? Verse 17. But Jesus answered and said, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. And it is the Sabbath, and they're working. But what sort of work are the Father and Jesus Christ doing on the Sabbath day? And it's clear from Jesus' actions and words that he's doing exactly as he announced when he said, I've been sent to heal the blind, give sight to the blind, and heal the lame, and set the captive free. That's what he was doing. And today the work of God is freeing us from sin and the captivity to it. That is the work of God that we believe. That is the work of God. The next chapter then. The next chapter in John 6. They asked him, now the scene has shifted up to Galilee now, and many followed Jesus Christ, and they asked him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? And Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. That's the work that Jesus and the Father are doing on this day, really every day, but on this day especially for us. They have given us the Sabbath. That is for us a sign. It is a covenant of our relationship with them. Let's go now to Exodus chapter 31 and read a very important verse, a section of scripture about the Sabbath day, that it is a covenant, shows that we are in a covenant between ourselves and God. Then verse 12 of Luke 31, or Exodus 31, sorry. Verse 12 of Exodus 31. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it's a sign between you and me throughout your generations, that you may know the Lord, that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. The sign between us. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Verse 14. Everyone who profanes it shall be surely put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. How can we ignore the blessing of the Sabbath day? How can anyone who proclaims to be a Christian ignore the commandment of the Sabbath? And therefore, verse 16, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The Sabbath day, brethren, is a perpetual covenant. Every week it comes. It is a perpetual covenant that continually harkens back to the creation and the time when this day was created by man, or by God for man. The Sabbath is that covenant sign that God will complete his work in us. It's a covenant that God says, if you're in this covenant with me, I will complete the work in you. This is the work that God does on the Sabbath. Let's go now to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. One day, brethren, all men will know the blessing that we do today and keep this Sabbath rest. Isaiah 66. Just one verse here. Verse 23. One day they will see. The world will no longer doubt or argue that the Sabbath is done away, that it's not necessary, but it shall come to pass, verse 23, that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me, says the Lord. We have this understanding now. We have this blessing of the Sabbath, and we know what it's for. How are we doing? What can we do to keep this Sabbath rest more perfectly? The day that God planned for us from the beginning to be the day of rest for our refreshment, but also for us to build a relationship with him. If this day, brethren, is so important to God, we should keep it with that same sense of adoration that he has. It's essential for our relationship with God. And this day, that he wants us to take that extra time that he's made available by us putting aside our normal labors so that we can draw closer to him in prayer and study and fellowship with one another, and in hearing his word. So follow Christ's example of keeping the Sabbath, where he did the work of God on the Sabbath. The work of God, that we believe him and keep his commandments. That is the work that Jesus came to do. Preaching the kingdom of God, which is the coming rest for all of mankind. Well, let's one final verse then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. And I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. Hebrews 4 and verse 9. There is a coming rest for mankind when the kingdom of God is here. But for us, brethren, the Sabbath day, its purpose, it's what it's for, is our blessing today. As Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So let us strive, therefore, to keep that rest ever more perfectly.